You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
Let's jump into the sermon portion and the teaching that we have for today. As we talk about God's presence, God with us, Jesus' name, which is Emmanuel, that God came down from heaven to earth to be with us and to be present with us. Now, let me give you a couple of three thoughts as we jump in. I mean, I've got a bunch of thoughts today. As I talk about God's presence in the future, this could be seriously a 32-year series. But I'm going to try to pack a bunch into this one teaching, knowing that I can't teach you everything. But what I really want you to grab is about this Advent season, about the time of Jesus coming, is that the birth of Jesus changed our past. The birth of Jesus changed our present. It changed our today. It changed this moment. Jesus being born changed it. And Jesus being born changed our future. When I was young and the Christmas season would come together, there was this something that was really important. And some of you guys are like me. You understand what I'm going to say. There would be a Christmas blockbuster movie that was released. And let me help you guys out, young people. Let me tell you how you used to get tickets. You had to line up for hours wrapped around the movie theater, hoping that you would be far enough into the queue that when you got up to the window, there would be tickets left for the movie you wanted to see. Now, let me help you out. There were times in my young childhood that we would show up not super on time, a little bit late, and we would get to the window, and they would tell us it's sold out. And then we would say, well, what other movies do you have? And they would tell us that there were tickets available for other showings or for other seats. And so we've already there. We've walked to the movie theater. Parents have dropped us off. They're not coming back for 2 hours. There's no cell phones to text message them and let them know what's going on. So we just found the next movie that we could go to. And sometimes the movie had already started. And we walked into that movie and we sat. What's really interesting, when we talk about the future, when I was a kid, and even in the 1950s and 60s, when people talked about the future, they always presented the future as it being easier, more efficient. Your cars would fly. Food would just come out of the wall, fully prepared, cooked and gorgeous and amazing. I remember when I first started going to Disneyland in Southern California, they had an area in Tomorrowland that talked about the future of tomorrow. And you would walk through this wonderful expo about how things were going to change and how things were going to be different. What's really interesting is they didn't have a place in that Tomorrowland, that future expectation, that had a maintenance man or a maintenance worker, that didn't have a things will break, that stuff's gonna fall apart in the future, and you're going to need to change and adjust your plans in the future. That was never part of the presentation. And what's interesting is, for many of us, we've bought into the lie. We've bought into the lie that the future, if it's right, the future, if it's correct, is going to be easy and pleasurable. You've been fed that lie. The American culture has taught you that lie. In fact, so much so that we are incredibly and insanely entitled as a nation. That when there's a pandemic, our nation asks, how in the world did our government not shield us from a virus that no one can see and got into the United States? Because we now have continental travel constantly in massive amounts of planes flying into America and flying out of America. How come our government didn't protect us? You know how entitled that is? And oh, how come it's taken so long for us to get a vaccine? Do you realize how entitled that is? Go back in history. Look at the major pandemics in the world. They never got a vaccine for the most part. Look at how long polio was inside of America and how long it took for that process to figure out things and to go. But we have this expectation that it should be easy and pleasurable, and then that comes into our spiritual lives. That tomorrow with God should be easy and pleasurable. That if it's really a good future, if it's really a good thing with God, it's going to be easy and simple. Because when I read through all 66 books of the Bible, man, life is easy and pleasurable. No, that's not what the Bible describes. The Bible describes real, true life. And that's why I know it's not a cult. That's why I know it's not fake. Because if you're going to start to present a religion that you want people to follow, you don't show all your flaws. You don't show all the mistakes. You don't show how difficult it is when people follow you. You tell people it's going to be amazing, easy, smooth, and pleasurable. You become a politician and you tell people. But then what do? When it's not easy and smooth and pleasurable, we revert to blaming. That's what the politicians are going to do. They've been doing it for centuries. They say, hope, 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 direction, 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 trust me, trust me, trust me. And then when stuff falls through, they go, well, it's not my fault. It's this person, 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 it's this person. It's the previous administration. What I want to set you up for in 2021 is that God is your future and God is your hope. And you understand in 2021, there is going to be pleasure. But God wants to grow you. God wants to mature you. And anybody who's gone through growth knows growth hurts. Anybody who's gone through maturity knows maturity is difficult. Now let's talk about this current year. Nobody knew in the beginning of 2020 that this would be so important, that this would be gold in Costco and people would fight for this, that this would sell out in seconds, that we would text message each other and let each other know there are Clorox wipes at Costco. Get there now. And we would go. No one had any idea that we would all walk around like it's the Wild West. I still feel like I'm going to rob a bank when I walk around with this thing on. And I'll describe my sinfulness here in a second, because the sinfulness of me and you that was in 2020 is going to be in 2021. Amen. We're still going to have to deal with us. And we can try to blame other people, but how about we realize we're really the only portion that we can sort of control. So let's deal with us. As I jump into Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, I have a simple question for you. Are you willing to be a part of the impossible? Are you willing to be a part of the impossible? I'll say it one more time. Are you willing to be a part of the impossible? When we look at Luke 1, 26 through 38, we learn the story of Mary. We learn about Mary's experience with this child coming into the earth. We learn about what she goes through and what she responds to and how she sees things, her feelings, her emotions, and her willingness to be a part of the impossible. Let's read together. It says in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Mary's probably 13 to 14 years old. Mary's parents arranged her marriage. Joseph's parents aligned this marriage. There would have been a public ceremony inside of Nazareth where they would have communicated that Joseph and Mary are going to be married in a year, and the entire town would have known. Verse 28, and he, the angel, came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Now let me help you guys out. Mary didn't earn this right. Mary wasn't so amazing and so pure and had never sinned that she got to be the mom of Jesus. No, God chose to put his favor on her because she still didn't deserve it. That's called grace, unmerited favor. By the way, when you look at this word favor, it's charis. It's Greek for grace. In other words, God says to you, greetings, graced one. the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. She was insanely panicked, and all of her mental faculties were trying to figure out what in the world is going on. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace with God." Notice the word favor. I flipped it to grace. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" Like, hello, angel, I think you're missing some pieces. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And in this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." Now, let me help you out. What Luke is writing about and what God is communicating is, I can give a child to a barren old woman, and I can give a child to a woman who's never had sex. What right now in your brain do you think God can't handle in your life? What right now are you saying that God is limited in? You've heard me preach this before. If you have a big problem and you have a small God, you got a big problem. If you've got a huge, amazingly large God, you have insanely small problems. And most of the time, when I mess up, I flip them. I make my Goliath bigger than my God. I make my God so small that little rocks and a sling and a shepherd boy can't take down the problem. What problems do you currently have right now rushing through your head that you're so worried about tomorrow? Is it a job? Is it food? Is it health? Is it wealth? Is it business? Is there going to be a tomorrow? Like, what are you worrying about? What are you stressing about? And what I want you to do is, Mary's with you. Mary's right with you. Mary's already stressed out. She's going to marry a dude she doesn't even know. She's 13 to 14 years old. Wow, ladies, think about that. She's trying to figure out, what is life going to look like? What is it going to be? Everything's up in the air. Things are switching and changing. And oh, by the way, an angel shows up. And no, she didn't have practice talking to angels. This was the first time she ever dealt with an angel showing up in front of her. That's why she was afraid. That's why her brain couldn't figure out what in the world is going on. This was an incredible experience. In verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Underline that, circle that, highlight that. Nothing is impossible with God. In other words, even when somebody's dead, really dead, been in the grave 3 days dead, it's not over for God. What thing did God tell you that he wanted to do in your life and you thought it was going to happen in March of 2020? You think it's dead. You think it's over. And God is like, no, I didn't say it was going to happen in March of 2020. I just told you it was going to happen. I didn't give you the date. What I want you to do is I want you to allow the things of God to come alive in your life. I want you to sit back and dream again. I know you've been crushed. I know you've been hurt. I know you've had your hopes smashed. But that's because you and I put the wrong measurements and metrics on our hope. We put an expiration date on it. We said that God had to do it by this date, and God didn't say that. 400 years before Jesus is born, God has a prophet speak that Jesus is coming. And if I was in Jerusalem, I would have been looking for him every single day. And I would have died. And I wouldn't have seen Jesus come in my lifetime on my place of dirt. And I would have felt like, man, I was lied to. And God's like, no. Him coming 400 years still covers you. I still sent him. You're good. For nothing will be impossible with God. In verse 38. And Mary said, and I'm sure it took some time. I'm sure Mary really had to process through. And I'm all absolutely positive the Holy Spirit spoke through Mary. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. My prayer is at the end of 2020 and the beginning of 2021, our response to God will be like Mary. I'm your servant. Let it be according to what you have said in your word. Jesus, in his prayer, says, God, your will be done. Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm your servant. Here we go into some of the points. Point number one, I hope you're taking notes. I hope you're jumping along. But point number one, God often changes our plans. Point number one, God very often, God quite regularly, God insanely often changes our plans. Have you experienced that? I don't know how long you've been a Christian and realized that you had some plans and you went to God and you told God how things were going to go, and God showed up and said, I understand that you're betrothed to be with Joseph, and I know that you have a 5-year plan that you want to wait for children, and I know that you want to live in this tiny little town, but you know what, Mary, I got a plan for you. You're gonna get pregnant. You're going to go to Bethlehem. You're not going to return to Nazareth for a very long time. In fact, you're going to go see Egypt. She didn't have those in her plans. And nor did she have in her plans that she would raise this precious child and she would have to actually worship him. Nor did she have in her plans that she would sit at the top of a hill, at the bottom of a cross, and she would watch her son that she loves die a terrible and painful death. She didn't have that in her plans. That wasn't in her plans. But God often changes our plans. Proverbs 16, 1-4 says this, to humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Verse 3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. You want to have a bright future? A bright future in the sense of worshiping God. Not a bright future in the sense of ease and pleasure. But you want to have a bright future that honors God? Commit to the Lord whatever you do. Well, how do you do that? It's really simple. Lord, my life is yours. I'm a servant. This day, as I do this work, as I craft this, as I do this Zoom call, as I make this, do this, whatever, clean a room, make a meal, talk with the child, hold a baby, console a spouse, say hello to a neighbor. God, this day, I am your servant and I am committed to serving you. You can interrupt my day at any point in time and tell me what you want to do. I'm here, Lord. Let me know. Commit to the Lord whatever you do and he will establish your plans. Let me help you out. He's already establishing your plans. In other words, God already has plans for 2021, just like he had plans for 2020. Early in 2020, I was going to surprise my wife. I was going to get her a trip. We were going to go to London. I had been tracking flights to London, and I've been watching all of them, and I've been paying attention. I was going business class at the cheapest price, and I was getting the best hotels and all the time and all the space, and I was working it all together, and oh my gosh, I got a slamming deal. It was right on my screen. I was going to be able to fly my wife and I round trip business. It was going to be gorgeous. It was going to be amazing. And I was going to get it for $400 round trip a flight from Chicago to London. Easy. Hotels, everything. Had it all figured out. Had a spreadsheet. That tells you how planned I was. I knew all the money. I knew all the days. And not only were we going to do London, but we're going to do the tunnel over to Paris. And then from Paris, we're going to end up in Italy. In Italy, we're going to be around Rome, and we were going to look at stuff that was old and crumbly and dying, and we're going to wave at the Pope, and then we're going to get on the plane and fly back. It was planned. And man, I had my mouse hovering over by. Hovering. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about hovering. Like one click away. A click. One click. And I was like, oh yeah, pray about everything. It's like, King, my wife really wants to go see this really tiny, overcast, smug, dusty old island. Can I buy these? And I literally heard the Holy Spirit say, no. Lord, are you kidding me? Lord, it's January. God, it's January right now. And I want to take her in August at the end of the season of when tourists are gone and they're not going to be there anymore. And then she's going to start working. And I haven't seen her for 18 months. She's been behind a book and a computer and she's been gnarly and snarly. And I want to like take her and want to make sure my marriage can keep going. And look at the price, Lord. God, look at the price. King, I don't know if you can see the computer screen. Let me show you. I'm gonna edge it up towards heaven so that you can see this deal. And God's like, no. Like, Lord, do you realize how many romance points that's gonna get me? I know how it works, God. It's only 1 point. But I need the 1 point, Lord. Lord, help me with the 1 point. And God was like, nope. I'm like, are you kidding me? So then February, I'm like, okay, well, I get it. We're not gonna go to London, but maybe we'll go to, you know what? I want to get out of Chicago. I want to go somewhere warm. I want to go down to Orlando, Florida, and then I can take my kids to Universal Studios, and we'll do Disneyland and all that stuff, Disney World. And so I started looking at stuff, and I found amazing deals again. Amazing deals. February of 2020, amazing deals to go to the perfect place in the world in August in 2020. And I was like, Lord. He's like, no. I'm like, God, you are a destroyer of dreams and hopes. You are just mean. God, you want me to stay here in Chicago in all this pain and all this you just don't understand, Lord. You just don't get it. And then March happened. Pandemic. Nobody's traveling. Airlines not refunding tickets. People not going on vacations. And I kind of sit, I was like, maybe God, you knew what 2020 was going to look like. And you protected me. What I want you guys to understand is God already knows 2021. He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. He is the beginning and He is the end. And you and I have plans that He's going, I don't think you need to be there during that time. I have a special volcano that's going to erupt. I don't want you on that island. Now, I'm not prophesying that a volcano is going to blow up on an island in 2021. What I'm trying to tell you is the King has plans for your life and He has established them. How about you and I ask Him, and how about you and I commit to following Him? Amen? Point number two. We can admit God often changes our plans, and I understand I've frustrated most of you. There's so many planners inside of our church. And that lets us know who God is. Now, listen, you can write your plans in pencil. That's fine. Plans are merely a point of departure. Don't get out the chisel and the stone and put it in. Don't put in that much effort. Commit your ways to the Lord and let Him establish it and walk through present each day and let it be what it is. If you don't believe me, read the book of James. Point number two, dedicate yourself to God's plan. Commit yourself to whatever you dedicate yourself to the Lord's plan. Last night, we were in Beer and Bible with the men, and one of the men in the group, Tony, started reading the scripture that he was reading through, and he was in Ephesians chapter 2, and he read verses 8 and 9, and he was sharing about it, and he was testifying to that God is saying, look, all these great things that are going on, it's not that you can boast. I'm the one doing them, says God. I'm the one that's providing for you. You see all that money in your bank account? That's me. You see the ability that you have to close a deal? That's me. You see the hospitality and the blessing and the gifts that you have of holding people and comforting people? That's me. And we looked at verse 10 together. And Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are His workmanship. God has made you and formed you, designed you, crafted you, and placed you. Here in a couple weeks when we go into Acts, I'm going to teach you that you have been born in this time and this place for a specific reason. Live it. Be present. For we as his, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Write in your notes, God has good works prepared for me tomorrow. God has good works prepared for me tomorrow. I will walk in them. Commit to it. God has good works prepared for me. I will walk in them. You know what else? God has good works prepared for you for 2021. He's already got good works for you. But again, don't establish and don't correlate, don't connect good works and easy and pleasurable. There are going to be some things tomorrow that take maturity and are difficult, and they just are not fun. The more mature I get, the less fun maturity is. This week I was texting back and forth with some friends, and we were talking about something, and we had to make a mature decision, and I just sent back, maturity sucks. And they sent back, yeah, it's really not fun. But you know what maturity is? It's mature. Do you know the opposite of maturity? It's immaturity. And can we all agree that right now our nation is suffering from a lot of immaturity? The answer is yes. So why don't you commit to the good works that God has for you? You know what? God has good works for today. And you know what that good work might be? You taking a nap. You stopping and slowing down and trusting that God is in charge of the earth spinning and floating in nothing. And he took care of it yesterday, which means he can take care of it today, and he can take care of tomorrow. Look at somebody around you and tell them or tell her, God has good works planned for you. Tell them right now, God has good works planned for you. If you're by yourself, look at your own screen, look at your reflection, point at it. God has good works planned for you. Now, don't look at them and yell commit, but just it's underlined. Point number one, God often changes our plans, doesn't he? Doesn't he? He does. Point number two, dedicate yourself to God's plan. But you know what we do as Christians? We create these plans and we want God to dedicate himself to us. That puts us in the position of God, and I think it's really hard for him to say yes. Have you ever taken a teenager on vacation? I think it's one of the easiest ways to ruin a vacation is to take a teenager on vacation. Have you ever done that? I was thinking back when I was the teenager on vacation. Really disinterested. Not wanting to be there. So upset that we were together as a family. Willing to be somewhere else but here. Like these were all the photos of me. So my mom, super photo hawk, like she, everything was, we're taking a photo. And I know she's watching, and that is the voice you used. So what I want you to know is everywhere we went, photo, photo, photo. And then literally my teenage years. Okay. And I'm just thinking back, and I want to apologize to my parents. I'm so sorry for my brother. I'm joking. It is true. I'm sorry for him as well. But because when you see the photos, he's worse. Like if you literally look at the photos, it's like, I'm like, and he's like superstar pro. Like it's so great. But what I want to say is, look, I'm so sorry that you guys put in massive energy and massive effort and massive planning. You guys gave away time, talent, energy, and resources. And I was an absolute, and I can't say it because there's small children in the room. What I want you guys to understand is that you and I are a lot like teenagers. God has plans for our lives, and we're just going around. Like, that's what we're doing. Oh my gosh, God, you gave me this home, this job, these parents. I mean, make your teenage face, okay? You guys are sitting in some mini churches. Turn to somebody and make your teenage face to them. In this group, make your teenage face. I've seen some of them already this morning, okay? I know you have your mask on, but you can still make it. You can show dissatisfaction through a mask. It's not hard. Do you know that teenage rebellion is part of human development? Do you know that teenage rebellion, according to Wikipedia, and it's on the internet, which means it's true, and if you want to go onto Wikipedia and you want to look at teenage rebellion, you can look up this informational tidbit. It says, teenage rebellion is part of human development in young adults in order for them to develop an identity independent from their parents or family and a capacity for independent decision-making. They may experiment with different roles and behaviors and ideologies as part of this process of developing an identity. Now, that may be great for us in a human flesh situation, but that is terrible for us spiritually. Let me reread this, but I will put spiritual connotation on it. Christian teenage rebellion is part of spiritual development in order for them to develop an independent identity away from God, away from community and church, and their capacity to make decisions on their own. They may experiment with different roles and behaviors and ideologies as part of this process of developing an identity away from God. Been there, done that? Just because you're 50, 40, 30 doesn't mean that you're a mature 30-year Christian. I've seen many gray-haired Christians that were insanely immature. And I've seen many Christians act like rebellious spiritual teenagers. Are you a rebellious spiritual teenager? It's really simple. When I ask that question, you're like, oh. Can't believe, I could be somewhere else right now rather than church. Yeah, you're there. I don't even want to go today. Do you realize how becoming independent and not identifying with God will create massive amounts of trouble for you? Dedicate yourself to God's plans. Recognize when you're being a spiritual teenager. Enjoy those photos. Smile. Thank your parents. Thank your friends. Thank somebody who made the meal, who designed the stuff that's going on, who's put in the resources and time for what you're receiving. Thank them. It may not be the best. It may not be the gold standard, but what energy and effort did you put in? Nothing. Be thankful. Point number three, remain in his plan. Point number one, God often changes our plans. Praise God he does, doesn't, right? Point number two, dedicate yourself to God's plans. Not my will, Lord, but yours. Remain in his plan. Grow up. Mature. Stop being a spiritual teenager. Okay? Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. What they're writing to Philippi is this. Yes, times are difficult. Yes, things are, it's insane what you're dealing with. God's not done with you yet. And let me help you guys out. As your pastor, as long as you have breath in your lungs and you are on this earth, I will treat you as if God is not done with you yet. That he still has more good works that he wants you to walk through. He still has more things that he wants you to accomplish. And stop putting everything in this gold standard that in order for God to use you for good works, you have to cure cancer. No, your good work and your faithfulness may simply be that there are two children next to your house that see you smile every single day. And they see that the racism that they're being taught is a lie because I'm being told this and I'm experiencing this. That is good work. Your good works may be able to send money so that other people can do things. You may be an encourager. You may be a cleaner. You may be a preparer. You may be a cheerleader on the side. You don't get to run in the marathon, but you get to be on mile 13 cheering that person on not to give up, not to quit, to remain in the race, to complete it so that they can win a prize in Christ Jesus. Those are good works. Remain in his plan. Point number four, hope in God's plan. Hope in God's plan. So point number one was God often changes our plans. You can be upset that he has a new plan for your life, or you can hope in his plan. if God would have come to me and he's like, Nathan, I know you got plans for your life, you and your wife, you're going to get married, this is what you're going to do, but here are my plans for you. What's going to happen is you're going to be working for a band for a period of time, then you're going to go work for a golf course and you're going to be a cart kid. After that, you're going to continue working for the band, then you're going to go student teaching, you're going to be super broke, it's going to be insane. Then you're going to get hired as a teacher, you're going to still travel with the band, you're going to waste a lot of money. Then you're going to get hired full-time as a teacher, you're going to get married, your wife is going to get pregnant, the world is going to flip upside down, you're going to then have to quit your job as a teacher, you're going to become a pastor, it's going to be insane what happens to you for the next 13 years, it'll be a blur, and then I'm going to move you to Chicago. None of that was in my plan. None of it. I looked at being a pastor in Santa Barbara. I looked at being a pastor in Hawaii. I did not look at being a pastor in Chicago. Let me help you guys out. Yes, the food is awesome. Yes, the springs and the summers are incredible. Has anybody heard about January and February?
It's coming, you'll find out.
God often changes our plans. This January, when the air changes and my skin gets upset because it's so dry and I get that rash, when I have to deal with mask knee, some of you guys learned about mask knee. I get little itty bitty zits now in the back of my ears from one of the things. I'm like, who am I, 13? But you know what I got to do? I got to dedicate myself to God's plan. I got a plan to get out of here. I got tons of plans. I'm going to move down to Orlando, Florida. I'm going to get a job at Disney World, and I'm going to be that person wearing the white clothes, just sweeping up trash, not even caring. I mean, talk about job security. People at Disneyland dropping trash. Check. I got tons of stuff to do all day long. And then I get to watch fireworks at night. I love watching things blow up. I got plans. But God's like, nope. Now, I can argue with God. Or I can say, Lord, your will be done. I will serve you with every breath that I have until you take me home. King, use me. I'm your servant. You can be like Mary. You can say what she said. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. You and I can do that. We've got to hope in God's plan. That's where we got to remain. We got to stop criticizing God's plan. We got to stop asking God for some changes and some alterations, thinking that God's plan is a draft. We've got to let him be sovereign and him be king, and we've got to treat him as such. And you and I have to believe that the future is paradise. You've got to hope in God's plan that the future is paradise. Yes, I just went to the end future. That when you take your last breath on this side of eternity and you move across to where the king is and you see the king face to face, you see the king fully for who he is, and he looks at you and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And you go, King, let's review. I got all F's. And God goes, I know, but I got all A's. Well done. You didn't do it. I did. And you go, so I passed. So you're saying, I passed. And Jesus is going to smile at you and say, yes. And now you can pass into my glory. You can pass into my eternity. You can pass into paradise. Let's go together. Let me show you around. 2021, God has plans for you that he wants to show you around. 2021, he has things he wants to walk you through. He wants to grow you. He wants you to cry. He wants you to celebrate. He wants you to laugh. He wants you to have a good meal. He wants you to fast. He wants you to sleep in. He wants you to wake up early. He wants you to go to bed early. He wants you to stay up late. 2021, he has so much for you. Do you want to do it? Do you want to be a part of it? Do you realize 2021 has nothing to do with the vaccine? 2021 is not relying on Clorox. 2021 is not relying on a mask. But let me help you out, teenager. Wear the mask. Stop being so rebellious. Be courteous. Be kind. Be considerate. Be loving. Be tender. Lamentations 3:21 says this in 23. You're like, dang, he went OT on us. Mm-hmm. Verse 21. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Why do you have hope? Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. That doesn't mean we're not on fire. That doesn't mean that we're not burnt. That doesn't mean that we're not just irritated. That doesn't mean that we don't hurt and we're not in pain. What it's saying is, you were not consumed to ash. You make it. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. God's love, God sending his son to the earth, God redeeming all of humanity, God saying, you get to be with me because I've chosen to be with you. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let me help you out. God has massive amounts of mercy ready for you tomorrow. God has massive amounts of compassion ready for you tomorrow. You do not have to save any of it today. You can use all of his mercy today. You can use all of his love today, because he's got it prepared for you tomorrow. Isn't that beautiful? Super cool. That God has an amazing plan for you and I, and we can trust in it. We can trust in his plan. Yes, his plan has cuts and scrapes and broken bones and bruises and hurts and hiccups, car breakdowns, home fires, hurt relationships. Yes, that's all in there. But he has plans for us also to respond in a way that shows that we are the children of God. And we walk and we represent him. And even when we mess up, when we go in and we repent and we ask for forgiveness, we walk and we heal relationships different than everybody else. We show we're part of the King's family. And we show we can hope in that future. So here's our application. We know that God's coming to earth as his child, as we celebrate Christmas, has absolutely changed our past. He's covered it. He's forgiven it. He's wiped over it. Why do you keep lecturing yourself on your past? Are you bigger and smarter than God? You're not. Are you God? You're not. So if God says you're forgiven, how about you live in that forgiveness? And it's going to take a while because you've beat yourself up for so long. You've told yourself you're not forgiven. You've used really mean words against yourself. And I have a simple question. Is that working? Is that strategy motivating you to higher heights and more loving personality and just a great all-around person? And the answer is no. So then try a new strategy. How about trusting God? We've taught you that God is present with you right here and right now, and the greatest gift that you can give is your presence. And yes, maybe it's on a Zoom call. Maybe your presence is a text message. Maybe your presence is an email. Maybe your presence is a tiny gift sent through the mail to someone else, just saying, I know you're there. I love you. I can't wait to hug you. Hold on. You can make it. Stay strong. Think how precious that is. And then we learn, because of Jesus coming to the earth, our future is completely changed. Our future is absolutely brighter and beautiful because of God. I asked you in the question in the beginning, are you willing to be part of the impossible? You see, in order for God to show up and show that he's God, it's got to be an impossible situation. It's got to be a situation that you can't handle. It's got to be a situation you can't mentally wrap your head around. It's got to be something where you have to depend on God. And let me go back to the teenager. God does not want you separate and away from him. God wants you connected and with him. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. It's not God away from us. And God keeps wanting to spend time with you, and you and I are spiritual teenagers, and we're so upset that he wants to spend time with us. I want to encourage you to relook at it in a different way. Maybe you need to apologize to God today. Maybe you need to apologize to yourself. And all you need to do is be like Mary and just commit. Behold, I'm your servant. Let it be what you have planned. And here's my application in my close. Romans 15, 13. This Christmas and coming into the new year, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me break that down real fast. May God do it all. May God fill you. May he give you joy and peace. And the trust that you have, may it be produced through him and in him in the Holy Spirit so that you can do it. And the Holy Spirit doing it, would you overflow with hope and power to walk in the good works that he has planned for you in the future. Now, let me help you out with another simple application. Trust that tomorrow is going to be okay and awesome, which allows you to be present today. Believing that tomorrow is okay allows you to experience this precious moment and to be where you're at. Praise God for where you are. Praise God for the simple things. Walk around the place where you live and praise God that you have a blanket. Praise God that you have a pillow. Thank God that you have Wi-Fi. Thank God that you have a computer. Thank God that you have clothes, shoes, a family member, a spouse, children. Praise God you have a car. Praise God you have running water. Praise God you have a bathroom that's indoors in Chicago in January and February. Amen? Praise God. May he bless you and may he keep you and may you and I walk in faith in the good works that he has planned for us. Look forward to talking to you guys this next Sunday on Zoom and hearing about all the things that God has done in your life. And then when we jump into 2021, we jump into the book of Acts. And I cannot wait to learn with you about all the things that the Holy Spirit has done, is doing, and will do. May God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Sunday.